Foot Clan, before we start today's excellent show, if you're like me and you want a championship, you should head over to fantasychamps.com to get trophies, belts, rings, all a smorgasbord of your glory. Make sure you lord it over everyone. And here's the best part. You can get a $59 free ring whenever you add a trophy or a belt to the cart. Add that $59 ring and use the code FREERING at fantasychamps.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, January 10th. Welcome in, one and all. We're still here. And happy to be here.
Thrilled to be here. I know a lot of people were sad yesterday. They were refreshing their podcast app and saying, where's the Ballers? Where are you at?
And we were on a yacht.
We were on a yacht. That was kind of our reward for this season. We got a yacht, so it's pretty cool.
It's called it's a desert yacht.
Right.
It just sits in the sand.
A lot of people call it an RV, but we call it the yacht.
We took the wheels off.
Right. Well, it can't move, but on the back we painted the word yacht, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. We're through the entire 2022 football season.
Regular season.
Yes. The fantasy season, Mike.
Yeah.
We're through it.
Now real football starts. Real football is not a thing throughout the regular season. That's called fantasy football time. Now we enjoy real NFL football.
Yeah, it's the fantasy football preseason now.
Right.
For 2023. So we got stuff to talk about. We've got studs and duds from this past week 18.
Got a lot of news.
Yeah, Jason can wear his Cardinal polo if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh, man.
With slightly more
pride?
Hope.
Slightly more hope. There was no hope with
the correct word.
With the Cliff and Keim regime. And now,
combination. Yeah,
now I have hope that we can not mess it up. I mean, I'm pessimistic about our odds, but, you know, hope.
Okay, and then the big part of today's show. I mean, and again, if you're watching, which not many of you are, but some of you are, if you're watching, you can see a giant cast iron footy award sitting on our desk, and we're going to be announcing the footy award nominees live on today's show for you to go and vote. And you can select them. We will be giving those footy awards away next week. It's a yearly tradition. Everything from show moment of the year to poopiest pants award to positional, best performances and clutch performances. It'll be fun.
Of all the years we've done this, many, many years, I think this has been the closest to call votes. You know, like every single category, I'm like, man, there is not, or I would say most of the categories. There's one where I think it's over. But most of the categories, I could not tell who I should vote for. There was three or four deserving parties in every category. So you guys are going to decide for us.
Yep. So we'll go through those nominees, talk through them today after we get through studs and duds. Couple of other quick announcements at the top of the show. You know that DFS pass we have?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
The DFS pass.
With
Borgen Betts.
Yeah, those guys.
They've done very well this year. You've heard us talk about the DFS pass. It's a good time if you are done with the regular season to play some DFS. We said, Borg, Betts.
That's how we talked to him.
That's how we talked to him.
Borg.
We value your work so much. You work very hard. You earn our listeners money. So what we're going to do is we're going to take all that work, and we're going to give it away for free for the playoffs.
What?
Yeah, that's right. How does it make you feel, Kyle?
I feel valued.
Yeah?
Yeah. The people get it for free, so I do like that.
The reason being is we run it through the through the NFL playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and it's an opportunity to see what it's all about. So you can jump in, dfspass.com, for $0.00.
That's a pretty good deal.
And you can sign up. You can access the DFS pass throughout the NFL playoffs. It's a lot of fun. I know I'm going to get into some DFS here in the NFL playoffs, and you can check out their work and the tools and all the resources there in the DFS pass, a chance to kind of see what you've been missing if you didn't get in this year. And prep you up for next year.
Yeah, and we now that the season has been wrapped up, we have some kind of data on how we fared in certain things. Like I know the betting article in season 92 and 75 on hitting those, and on the season long props 8-2, 80%. So there's a lot of value to be had in there, a lot of fun to have through the playoff weeks.
And so check that out, dfspass.com. The website's thefantasyfootballers.com if you want to check out everything else we got going on. You know, we'll be getting into the Dynasty Pass here soon. Lots of turning the page moments here for the show as we get through the season. We look forward to the future. And then, of course, we watch the playoff football as fans, just as fans. You don't have to freak out about every single play going wrong, Jason.
Oh, but you can if you want to.
Oh, yeah. You can always have something riding on it.
Shall we get into the news?
Yes.
News and notes from around the league.
I don't know how you want to handle this one.
Yeah, you do.
We're going to handle it like professionals.
Yeah, real professionals. You're going to touch that button.
I mean, you think?
I think we're...
Look, I just need somebody to find it for me.
A man... lost his job, but he wasn't good at it, and he already got his money. Get out of here, Cliff.
Yeah, you're gone. You sucked. Woo! Cliff Kingsbury's gone. He's out. He's been let go.
And the Cardinals got the number 3 pick. Thank you, Denver.
Yeah.
Yes, Cliff Kingsbury, despite signing him to a fresh extension for no reason last year, this is the Cardinals. This is their new thing. Top 10 pick on Josh Rosen, invest the future in him, say goodbye the next year. Brand new extension for Cliff Kingsbury. Everyone's shaking their heads. Team third worst in the league, number 3 pick.
Yep.
And Cliff Kingsbury, he does not look like the same person he was when he started this job.
No, it looks like one of those White House transitions from beginning of term to end with Cliff Kingsbury. But the nice thing is, future is bright, and also Steve Keim, general manager, has stepped down from that role, will be involved with the organization going forward, but is no longer the general manager. So general manager, head coach openings for the Arizona Cardinals, but they aren't the only team with head coach openings. My favorite one is definitely King Lovey Smith, as I will refer to him. I mean, a 9-year head coach with an above 500 record for the Chicago Bears. I mean, a true Chicago Bear.
Yes.
As the head coach of the Texans went out there and took that first number one pick for the Texans and turned it into the Chicago Bears number one pick, said, peace, see you. He was fired that night. Like everyone else was, you know, Monday was the day that they're let go. No, the Houston Texans organization.
It had to be the walk back to the locker room. Yeah. But look, Lovie Smith is doing his job, which is go out there and win football games and, you know, try to secure your job as the coach next year, be the coach somewhere else. And it took a 4th-and-20 miracle touchdown.
Hail Mary.
Then going for it for two. I mean, in the world of, like, of the end of the season here, Lovie Smith remains true Bears king.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Saturday maintained his draft position, losing that game in a miraculous fashion. I mean,
Russell Wilson, the 12th man, helped the season of be even better for the Seahawks.
But at the end, at least, knocked their pick down one spot for Arizona. Yeah, the openings: Cardinals, Broncos, Colts, Panthers, Texans. And then the Cardinals and Titans both have general manager openings. I don't know if you saw the Titans have requested permission to talk to some of the Cardinal front office.
Please do.
And the Broncos...
They like what they see?
There's up-and-comers.
Adrian Wilson, I know, has had his name floated around for a couple of teams.
It wasn't Wilson. I don't have the name in front of me here.
Really?
No, it wasn't. but they did request permission to talk to another part of the
permission
front
granted.
Office.
I think this is next level stuff from the Titans trying to get the Cardinals to say, that guy's wanted to run the league. We should just promote from within.
So openings opportunity, Sean Payton's the big name out there at head coach. The Broncos received permission to talk to Sean Payton. There will be compensation made to the Saints. He's under contract for 2 more years with the Saints and a big, big, big paycheck for Sean Payton if he comes back to coach. But the Broncos are in that position, right? They have kind of the endless money situation going on, and they dumped it into Russell Wilson, and now you need to find somebody that can work with him. Bill Belichick also coming back to coach for a 24th straight year, I think, something close to that. Looking over at Deucer's Alley, how do you not have Bill Belichick's career not, you know, memorized?
I feel like Bill Belichick is the type of person where this is his life. I know he's got, you know, a strong family as well. Most of that family's in coaching with him now. But it just seems like the type of guy that when he walks away from football, it'll be 2 weeks later, he'll pass in his sleep. It'll be like one and the same where he's going to go till the end. I don't see him ever walking away from football.
It is wild looking at how long Bill Belichick has been here. I mean, the success that he had, and now we have all these rumors about like Sean McVay, where they felt like a little bit where they were coming out of nowhere last year. There was the whispers that Amazon was trying to lure him away to be an analyst on TV with a huge bag of money. And you're like, that seems strange. And then it kind of grew of maybe this is going to happen, but it didn't. And now we're right back to it of Sean McVay is going to make his decision quickly about does he want to remain the coach of the Los Angeles Rams, which he's been a really, really good coach. And he's already like, maybe I need to be done doing this. And Bill Belichick's over there going on his 2 decades.
Well, it doesn't help that the Rams have traded away all their firsts. This is the dynasty manager that comes in, trades them all away.
Gets a championship or two.
And then says, peace out, deal with the ramifications. I mean, it's...
Orphan league available.
And also,
champion.
It has worked out. No, it has worked out for these coaches to, you know, leave on top while you're good. You know, Sean Payton walked away right at the right time, goes gets paid big money as a commentator. That life is good. I mean, it worked for Gruden, and then Gruden came back with a decade-long contract. Worked for Payton. And this is probably a smart path for McVay, because if I'm a head coach, that's the path I want. You know where Sean Payton's going to go? Wherever he darn want. It's up to him. He's not going to any situation that isn't a winning franchise, a ton of money, all the control you're asking for. So, I mean, that's the way to do it. If I'm McVay, I go to Amazon and then come back 3-4 years from now when people are signing blank checks for you.
And you don't really damage your coaching stock.
Exactly.
Like, Sean Payton, you know, has been a great coach. He also had a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback with him essentially his entire career there in New Orleans. And there were still some bumps along the way. Like, could Sean Payton have taken that team that we watched this year and done a whole lot better? Maybe a win or two, which could have won the division based off of how things shook out. But, like, he didn't. You don't have to deal with the headache of the rebuild. You're just always great. So, well done by them.
I was just thinking.
A little sneaky.
You know, people thought Bill Cowher would come back and coach. Like, Bill Cowher's 65. He's 5 years younger than Bill Belichick is. Bill Belichick, 47 years coaching. This will be his 24th season as a head coach. But, like, people thought Bill Cowher would come back, and then life not coaching was too good.
Right.
Right? And it's funny because the money that's in commentary now and the opportunities with all of the different networks and streaming services, it's a nicer situation on your life. I know that. And I know that Sean McVay, like, you know, we made the joke about trading away your picks and getting out of there. Like, he's had a lot going on in his personal life over the last handful of years too. So I think last year the consideration of retirement was significant, but like he's like lost people and he's had a lot of things going on. So I definitely, you know, you've accomplished your dream and having some time away because it's an intense job to do it well.
Right.
You're doing it all the time. So we also got the really good news that DeMar Hamlin has been released from the hospital, has returned to Buffalo. So just such a, you know, looking at this weekend, the crowd in Buffalo, the support for DeMar Hamlin.
Freaking the opening kickoff.
That was
returned for a touchdown.
Hard to believe.
Unbelievable. The fact that everyone's eyes were on that game, and they wanted to see how does Buffalo do? How are they emotionally? How do they respond? You know, and then the first play, they house it. And I mean, as that play goes on, there's the camera goes to Josh Allen, whose hands are grasping his helmet. Like he can't even believe what just happened. I'm just like tearing up watching football. It's awesome.
All right. Injuries though.
Less awesome.
Yeah. We have Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams exiting with a back injury. No fracture or muscle injury, according to Brandon Staley. He was carted off the field. The initial report that I had read had said they expected him to be ready for Jacksonville. But, I mean, Brandon Staley's getting roasted right now by his fans by Chargers fans just for making the decision to leave these guys in for an extended period of time, which feels, you know, it feels like a trepidatious, impossible situation for coaches. Because you're always gambling when a player's on the field, and we've seen the value of momentum heading into the playoffs and playing well. Like, they really haven't had a lot of games where it's firing on all cylinders, but yet they had the 5 seed locked up and you didn't need to do it. And Mike Williams is a very injury-prone player, as is Joey Bosa, who was also banged up in the game.
Yeah, it is really tough. I mean, you know, if Trevor Lawrence had gotten injured 2 weeks ago when they decided to play him, we'd be lambasting Doug Peterson. Instead, because nobody got injured, nobody cares. But in this situation, it was one of those where it made me toil. Like, well, if I was a coach, what would I do? And I just think you have to rest your guys. Like, they can't get hurt if they're not playing football. I mean, you know, generally speaking. So that was rough. And while the initial report, you know, great that there's no fracture and that they hope that he was back, it also came out that he was when he was the last one out, basically going to the bus, he had to have his arm around a trainer for assistance walking the entire way there. It does not seem like he's all hunky-dory, and he dealt with back problems that made him miss games early in his career.
Brandon Staley did come out literally in the last few minutes and say he expects Williams to return to practice this week, but did not state definitively whether he'll play in the game. So we will see. We'll monitor that. Hopefully he's out there. You want teams at full strength. Raheem Mostert, broken thumb, going into the playoffs. Gus Edwards exited with a concussion, hoping to get Lamar back.
Yeah, which there's no update as of the time of this recording. I mean, it's not good vibes right now for the Ravens.
And you look at his situation, is it a different outcome for him if he's locked up into a long-term deal? Does he make a different decision? I'm just thinking of off the top of my head. Does he make a different decision about, or does the team make a different decision based on?
I would doubt it given the playoffs. Maybe before now. Maybe if he was ready and he kept resting. But I think the playoffs come. If he's able to be out there, I think Lamar Jackson will be out there. I would imagine it's just purely health.
But my point is, like, if you're Lamar, couldn't you jeopardize your contract? By being re-injured?
So, yes and no. Absolutely, there's an injury risk for playing, but I don't think that would actually jeopardize his contract that much. I mean, we saw, you know, the worst-case scenario happen with Dak where it was like, see, this is why you don't play on that. He still got paid a ton of money because you go, well, I know he's a great quarterback, and if Lamar were to go out and get injured, there's half the league that would pay up to massive, all-you-can-eat buffet level of spending on him.
The Chiefs and Eagles secured the first-round byes. So Saturday this week, we're going to get Seattle at San Francisco, Los Angeles at Jacksonville. And then on Sunday, Miami at Buffalo, New York at Minnesota, and Baltimore at Cincinnati. And then Monday, we've got a Monday night game, Dallas at Tampa.
I forgot they were doing that.
Me too. Because football owns everything.
Yeah.
So our Super Bowl picks, we'll bring them on Thursday. We'll give you our brackets and our picks. And we are doing the playoff challenge. We do it every year with the Foot Clan. So if you want to come, it's a free opportunity to basically go in and pick players at every position and you'll earn multipliers based on how long they last in the playoffs and the points they put up in subsequent rounds. You can check that out completely free. Like I said, we do it over through the NFL Playoff Challenge, and you can get there right to our league and participate with us at footclanchallenge.com if you want something else fun to do for the playoffs. Did I forget anything?
No.
No?
That's it for now.
All right. Moving on.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Oh, just like all year long, week in and week out, Russell Wilson, 283-3. Thanks, Russ.
So, I don't know if people realize, but three of his final four games of the season, he was a top five fantasy quarterback.
Also, the last two games of the season, which both were top five, were without Hackett. Hackett gets fired, and then he was a top five quarterback and a top five quarterback. So, do you...
Who's got the courage?
Do you walk onto the trap, or do you see it for what it is?
Well, look, let me just make a couple quick points. At the end of the season, you don't have the same pool of where you're finishing. No Kyler Murray, no Lamar Jackson, no Jalen Hurts, no Josh Allen for one of those weeks. So, yes, you can slide into the top five, Russ. I will not be sold that bill of goods.
I understand.
For next offseason, but he clearly played better when Nathaniel Hackett was dismissed and they were able to move forward, you know, the last 2 weeks against Kansas City and the Chargers. So, you know, it's nice to see some, you know, if you're a Denver fan, if you're a Russ fan, if you're Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton, this is good to see.
Yeah, maybe a little hope.
Absolutely.
A little.
Yeah, to speak to your top five, you know, on this week, you've got Davis Mills, Davis Webb, Brock Purdy, all kind of cracking that as best quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, it was a very, I mean, people played half the amount of time, whatever. Josh Allen came back to 254-3.
He finally looked great.
And then, like you said, Brock Purdy, Davis Webb, Davis Mills. If your name was Davis,
oh, it was a great week.
This is a good week for you. Running backs, Zach Moss, Mike's favorite player. 18 for 114. Mike's start of the week, Zach Moss, never afraid to put on the iron underpants.
Look, man, sometimes the process is easy. The Houston Texans, they delivered fantasy points to all running backs.
Yeah, and then you've got Nick Chubb.
He finally got back on track.
Got back into the end zone.
Was the running back one this week, I believe, despite really not having a monstrous line. You know, this wasn't a week for fantasy football where you just had, you know, huge performances from anyone that mattered.
Any connection in the triangle of Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, any of them playing each other is some of the most boring football.
Oh, yeah.
That you could ever experience.
How dare you? It's gridiron. It's gritty and great defense, Andy.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, it was. It was when that was better than whatever else you were doing in the 1950s. Because in the 50s, you had less to entertain you.
Yeah.
And so that was entertainment in and of itself. But we got to change that now. And that's boring, to be clear. By the way, in the same vein as Zach Moss with the Colts, we did get some news that Jonathan Taylor said Monday he will meet with doctors to decide about the possibility of undergoing surgery.
Hmm.
So that's not great.
Hmm.
Because it's surgery he hasn't had yet. Also.
Yeah, well, we should have done that.
So other big weeks. I mean, Mike, we mentioned this
to it
briefly. Alexander Mattison, the idea that maybe he could end up with a good week, had a couple touchdowns.
Like, we kind of had a Dalvin Cook discussion. I don't remember which of the 10,000 podcasts of the last couple of weeks it was, but Dalvin Cook has not been his consistent self. Like you still see the flashes of it, but you're seeing a whole lot more like just pedestrian work from Dalvin Cook. And Alexander Mattison is the unrestricted free agent. He's going to go try and get that bag of money. And I was talking about, you know, like it would not surprise me at all if we see a day two running back pick from the Minnesota Vikings. And like Dalvin Cook is at the point now where I'm starting to get pretty freaked out if you're if you have him in your dynasty leagues. I think the time is rapidly running out.
I'm not with you on that.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, for all running backs, it will run out at one point in time. But to me, this was you know a pretty good season. I mean, he's not double digit touchdowns like he was 3 years ago because the team, the identity of this team is different, right? You have a different head coach. You have Justin Jefferson, certainly the cog of the offense compared to what Dalvin used to be.
Sure, but if you're using that as an excuse for why Dalvin had a down year.
He didn't have a down year. He was the number 10 running back, and he ran the ball 320 times without getting hurt.
He had a down second half. From week 11 through week 18, he finished inside the top 24 two times.
Yeah, this last game, I had Dalvin Cook in our DraftKings, so I was paying special attention. He got injured in the game. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Left the game. He only played 34% of snaps, and he did come back after that, so he wasn't like out, but they clearly were taking it easy on him, knowing that the playoffs were coming. Alexander Mattison has the big game. I haven't seen anything from Dalvin Cook to make me think he's lost it and he's not good anymore. So I'm looking at his cap situation going forward.
He's 27.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll play out this contract and then be done. So I think you'll have another year or two. For dynasty purposes, this is where you would capitalize on his name and trade him for a haul if you still can. I'm always fine with that at this age for a running back. But I don't necessarily think, like, it's the end for him.
Jamal Williams, the big week, two touchdowns. We were talking about him in the office. He's an unrestricted free agent. We all expect him to go back to Detroit.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's not a guarantee. Also seen mock drafts with Bijan Robinson to Detroit.
Shut your mouth. Don't you put that evil out there.
They call him Kerryon Johnson 2.0.
Yeah, that would that would break my soul. There are there are 31 teams Bijan is allowed to go to.
Who else do you want to talk about? Elijah Mitchell came back. 5-4, 55-2. CMC still got it done with managed work. Joe Mixon back into the end zone, thank goodness.
Cam Akers, I think, is a big story.
I think he's a discussion.
He's been great, got another 20 carries. He's been running for 5 yards a clip. He was the running back 4 from week 13 on, and going into next season, he's going to be a really, really interesting discussion.
Anybody else at the running back position you want to talk about right now?
No.
Quick break back with the wide receivers. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. All right, wide receiver studs. Keenan Allen keeps getting it done. 8 for 102 and 2. Devontae Parker, a couple of touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy, 5 for 154. Definitely been their best receiver this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen kind of a consistent, he's at the top of that mountain. Stephon Diggs back in the end zone. Brandon Cooks back into the end zone. Brandon Cooks and Lovie Smith leaving together.
Just giving that number one salute.
Number one. Christian Kirk back for 6 for 99. I think Christian Kirk needed, like, do you know this number, Kyle? He had an incentive.
Did he end up short?
He had an incentive, and I think it was 100 and something. Like 103?
I'll look it up. Yeah, he was close to it.
I think he missed the incentive by like 4 or 5 yards.
What?
I could be wrong.
You got to feed the man.
6 for 99. Well, they were... people brought that up in the like prop betting world about like guys with incentives this week and highlighting them. And I agreed with it on certain players on teams with inconsequential games. But when you're in the middle of a battle with Tennessee that goes to the wire, I can't help but think nobody's paying attention to that at the end of that game. It's get a first down.
Yes.
But I don't remember.
I agree with that.
But Christian Kirk, big game. Jamar Chase, 8 for 86 and a touchdown. It was total catches? Incentives for 1,000 yards. Okay.
No, he hit. Well, he had 1,100 yards, and he hit 80-plus catches.
I don't know what he was short on. But Drake London, love it. 6 for 120. Maybe a little spark heading into next year.
Yeah, this is great news for Drake London managers and bad news for those who were trying to target trading for Drake London on the cheap because, you know, what I saw in the beginning of the year was enough for me to decide I want to go after him. I had a note written down to try to make some off-season trade offers for him, and I was really disappointed how good he did at the end of this year because I don't have him in any of my dynasty leagues, and I'd like him because he's going to be great.
George Pickens, 3 for 72. That's kind of like if you had to pick a default George Pickens best-case scenario stat line, 3 for 72 and a touchdown feels like George Pickens. And then you had George Kittle. Targets, 4 for 29 and 2.
With Brock Purdy, George Kittle is unlocked.
Isaiah Likely, 8 for 103 in Mark Andrews' absence.
And, yeah, I mean, that offense runs through the tight end position. If you know, I've said this for dynasty leagues. I tried this in my own where I've got Mark Andrews. It feels like if you're the Mark Andrews manager, you have to go out and trade for Isaiah Likely because then your tight end is secure.
And then Chiggy Chiggy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
3 for 42 and a touchdown.
Conquo, baby.
He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
Passing that eye test every week.
It was pretty funny in during the game. You're like, he was finally getting highlighted, I think, by Aikman. And because they lined him up at fullback, and he made the block. Like, he did everything right because he sprung the running back. But he also got blown up on this play. Like, he got annihilated. And Aikman's like, he's doing everything on the field. I'm like, yeah, but he's on the ground. Like, that's not the play where you want to celebrate Okonkwo.
What is your Aikman, Joe Buck, like?
My sentiment?
Yeah.
I mean, they're fine.
Fine, they, Jason? Yeah,
I think they are better than vanilla, but they're not, you know, one of my favorites.
I used to be a pretty big fan, but it's faded in recent years.
Well, because now you have a taste of like there's other guys like
that's probably what, it.
Like you get to hear Romo do a couple games, you go, well, this is fantastic. Also, what happened to the other people?
It's like when they only have vanilla and chocolate, and then somebody made the swirl, and the swirl seemed the best, but then someone made more flavors.
Yes, exactly.
I heard
I could put sprinkles on this thing.
I heard Troy Aikman make a comment in that Jacksonville game about how like all season long Marvin Jones has been by far his most trusted receiver.
What?
And I was like, you haven't watched the Jaguars at all.
Was it who did the commentary when we had the one player, a fan take the field?
Oh, and that was so good.
Was it Harlan?
Yes, it was Kevin, yeah. Harlan.
That came. I'm bringing that up. Somehow my son found this video, and he's just walking around the house. This man is drunk, but there he goes.
Your son is saying that?
Like he found the
highlight?
And so then I had to watch it again. And it is this whole period of him commentating on the fan running across the field is so good.
I think Harlan was also the one that did the cat.
Was he?
I think so. It was either him
when
or
the cat
Ryan
was
Eagle.
Running across the field. I just rewatched the Malice at the Palace?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Jason?
That's the Pacers, right?
The Pacers and the Pistons up in
Ron
the
Artest.
Stands. Yeah. Rewatched that whole scene with the commentary because these guys, what are you going to say? And it was Bill Walton.
Oh,
Bill Walton was
gosh.
In on that. So it was a blast from the past. Don't bring him back, by the way.
Bill Walton?
No, he stunk. All right. Now that we're done with the commentator part of the show, into the duds.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
All right, well, Jalen Hurts, he may have been someone you could ride all season long, but if you played through week 18, he let you down. No touchdowns.
Hopefully you didn't have any of your starting quarterbacks.
What do you mean?
Fantasy football.
If you had Joe Burrow, if you had Trevor Lawrence, if you had Dak Prescott, if you had Patrick Mahomes, if you had Jared Goff,
yeah.
I mean, it's just all the good quarterbacks really let you down outside of Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's true, because week 18, people, make your change. Now's the time.
Now is the time. Now is when people will be really upset, and so make the change to week 17.
We got to get that 4.9% number down. Running back duds, guess what? Studs from the year like Zeke and Pollard and Dalvin Cook and ETN and Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler. Yeah, all the good players. Mm-hmm. So it was tough. You know, I saw my sister, her league, first season playing, two-week championship, goes to week 18. Had her sending me screenshots throughout the day. How's your matchup doing? I mean, it is single digits versus single digits. It's all these stars scoring very little points, and like the winning margin was just almost nothing because nobody did anything.
Yeah, I mean, half of these games don't matter. A quarter of these games have people playing a portion of the game and then resting. There's a few games where they're going at it, but that's just not what we want for fantasy or for anything.
Yeah, no question. Justin Jefferson didn't get the record, obviously. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle didn't do anything. You know, nice to see the sophomore season for Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, in terms of his involvement in the offense, he took the last half of last year and this year, and he's been become a real PPR force. You saw T. Higgins one catch.
Saw T. Higgins with as many yards as he had targets.
Seven targets for one catch. It's kind of wild.
Yeah,
Debo.
That's painful.
You know, Debo will be an interesting name going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the quarterback? What's the situation? Are they coming off a Super Bowl appearance?
The quarterback, I do not envy what the 49ers are going to have to do. You literally have
three viable options at least.
Well, Garoppolo's not under contract, I believe.
Correct. I think he was a 1 year.
So, I mean, the fact that, and Brock Purdy's playing very well. But again, let's see how he does in a playoff scenario against a true top team and in that type of an atmosphere. But if Brock Purdy has any kind of success, I mean, and then you have the number 3 overall pick who really has seen no game action for your team, so you don't know. That's going to be a very difficult thing to
you could go into the season with the hope of Trey Lance and the backup of Purdy.
Yeah, I think that's what it will be. My guess is that they'll go to Trey Lance. That's mm-hmm. who they want. That's my full expectation, almost regardless of what happens. The only, like, if they get to the Super Bowl and lose, I think it's no question Trey Lance is a starter next year. The only question is, if they win the Super Bowl,
right?
If they win the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy,
I think it'll legitimately come down to, was it because of Brock Purdy,
sure,
or is it with Brock Purdy?
Yeah, that's fair. It wasn't, you know, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, and then
he balled out.
Yeah, he did. But then they went back to wins.
Yeah, yeah. That's your best example, especially with the draft capital situation. But yeah, the wide receivers, much the same situation. Not a lot of good performers, performances. Zay Jones, Hollywood, DJ Moore, blah, blah, blah. Kelsey, 6 for 38 to finish the season. Darren Waller, 2 for 35.
Deontay, when I was watching it, I believe he almost scored.
Oh, he was wide open, massive, like 40-yard reception. He's running. I'm watching over the corner. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's not going to finish the season without a touchdown. Tackled at the 1 yard line. Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Schmevin finished the year 4 for 27.
Come on, Schmevin.
The doctor, a disappointing week. Taysom Hill, not as many opportunities this week, and I think I'm going to stop talking about the duds. And we're going to get into the footy nominations because...
Here we go!
Why do I feel like I was on a Disney ride right there? The 2022 footy nominations coming your way, and I think we're going to do this... I think we'll take turns. We're going to break down each category.
Oh, man.
Take turns. I know. You could have just kept playing it. By the way, footyawards.com is where you go to vote. Vote before next Monday, and we will announce the winners on next Tuesday's show. Performance of the year is our number one first category. Which single week performance was the most impressive this year? Last year, the winner was Ja'Marr Chase in week 17, where he put up a measly 50.1 points on three touchdowns, 266 yards. This year's nominees, Tua Tagovailoa in week 2 had that monster 6 touchdown performance. Justin Fields in week 9 went for 42 fantasy points. This was kind of a huge breakout, 178 on the ground. Joe Mixon had his ridiculous 5 touchdowns against yours truly in week 9 as well. Josh Jacobs week 12, 45 fantasy points, 229 and 2 on the ground. Mike Evans, Jason's favorite performance of all time, week 17.
Favorite player.
Mm-hmm. 43 fantasy points on 12 targets.
That performance, week 17, 3 touchdowns, 200 yards, makes me realize just how good last year's Ja'Marr Chase was.
Yes.
Because he was like another touchdown more of
and
value.
And then Stephon Diggs in week 2 had 38 fantasy points on 15 targets, 148 and 3. And TJ Hawkinson in week 4 put up almost 36 fantasy points.
Oh, the Hawkinson.
And that was that was when he was in Detroit.
Yes.
And I actually think that TJ Hawkinson, the performance he had in the playoffs was extremely impactful, cuz he was up over right around 30 points in that one as well. So Hawkinson making a couple of burst appearances.
He did have a couple of big ones. The next category is the Fantasy Reapers Man of the Year. Which painful injury hurt fantasy managers the most? Of course, last year was Christian McCaffrey. He, missed pretty much everything. This year, you have Javonte Williams.
Oh, man.
Keenan Allen.
I almost forgot about Javonte.
I know. It was so early. Darren Waller. Cooper Kupp. Jonathan Taylor. And my man, Breece Hall.
That one hurt.
That one,
they all hurt.
It's funny because these really, truly are almost, we're going to find out who people drafted the most because they hurt and they are personal when, if you had Cooper Kupp and he was the number one wide receiver by far, and then you lose him, you know which one of these hurt you the most. For me, it was Breece Hall because I had him everywhere. So let's find out who let you down.
Yeah. Some of these guys definitely did.
Our next category, the Poopiest Pants Award. Mm. Who has the fullest trousers?
Yes.
And I think we all voted, and I think we were very split here on who actually has the poopiest pants. But we have Justin Herbert, drafted as the quarterback 3. Russell Wilson, the 12th man, drafted as the QB 8. Jonathan Taylor, drafted as the first player overall. Alvin Kamara, RB8. Debo Samuel, wide receiver 8. DJ Moore. I feel like
he can poop his pants no matter where he is.
Like DJ Moore's in this category every single year.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the chance to win it back to back years.
At the wide receiver 14. Allen Robinson, wide receiver 22, and Kyle Pitts, back of the third, tight end 3.
I was laughing at this when you started reading, because I did not realize that last year's winner was Allen Robinson.
Was it? Yes. It was.
He won. He won the footy for poopiest pants and is back qualified for this again. It's absolutely incredible.
We washed his pants out.
We filled them back up.
He got to go to the pants store. But when you win this award, usually you're not allowed to have new clean pants.
But then the Rams buy you new pants.
Oh, the Rams bought him a sweet pair. They were white.
They were
just
white.
Just pristine.
Oh, man. Freshly ironed.
Not anymore.
The way.
Another doo-doo.
All right. Next award, the Waiver Wire Wonder. Looking at which undrafted Waiver Wire stud was the best signing of the 2022 season. Last year, Cordarrelle Patterson won this award.
Yes, it was.
This year, some good contenders yet again. Jerick McKinnon, who 6 straight games down the stretch with a touchdown. Zay Jones, he was called the spot start. Christian Watson, from heralded rookie to nothing to, that's why. Justin Fields and Geno Smith, who, both of those guys contributed in a big way.
Yeah, they were both awesome fantasy quarterbacks. Speaking of awesome fantasy quarterbacks, we're going to talk about the fantasy quarterback of the year. This is, you know, you factor in where they were drafted, their big important performances, and everything combined. Do you think that the best fantasy quarterback this year, not just who scored the most points, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Fields? So you either are voting for someone that starts with a J or Patrick Mahomes.
Last year was Tom Brady.
That
in
is
that
true.
Category.
Yeah.
Man, do you guys realize where Geno Smith finished?
I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess.
He threw for 4,200 yards and 30 touchdowns.
I was going to guess quarterback 7.
5. At least that's what I'm seeing on our site.
Wow.
I mean, that's wild.
It would not have been something that you could have stated without being thrown into an insane asylum
yes.
before the year.
I mean, if you...
They would have hauled any of us off if we had even hinted at top 10.
Yeah, because he was the backup quarterback to Drew Lock.
Well, I mean,
right. I mean, no, that's how the off season. What that's the narrative of the off season. The trade, Drew Lock coming over for Russell Wilson. We didn't even expect it to be Geno until a couple weeks before the season. Then it was like, oh, he's won the job through camp and preseason.
But I mean, would people have bet on Mariota or Geno Smith if they were heads up before the season?
Mariota
for sure.
Wild. So. Quite the performance.
All right, the fantasy running back of the year, is that where we are?
Yes.
So the nominees are Awesome Excellent, a.k.a. Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Tony Pollard.
Good nominees. Last year
Good
was,
luck.
Last year was Jonathan Taylor. The fantasy wide receiver of the year, which Cooper Kupp won last season, Jefferson, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Stephon Diggs. Your nominees for fantasy wide receiver of the year.
Yeah, at tight end, you've got Mike's favorite Taysom Hill. You've got Mike's favorite Evan Ingram. You got George Kittle, T.J. Hockenson, and Travis Kelce.
You know who I voted for.
Evan Ingram.
Voted with my heart.
Last year's winner was Mark Andrews, who didn't really... Yeah. Get it going this year.
He lived up to it, man. To start the year, it seemed like he was a better pick than Kelce, and then the Lamar injury, and then the Mark Andrews injury, and he was kaput.
The breakout player of the year. Which player, you know, the fantasy football breakout of the year? Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Tony Pollard, Ramondre Stevenson, despite the end of the season, Devontae Smith, and Kenneth Walker.
Ken Kenneth?
I don't know if it's Ken or I don't know if it's Kennery. Kenneth.
Debo Samuel won it last year.
Mm.
The breakout of the year.
Mm. Is this a curse?
You know, Debo's season's so weird.
It is.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was not. It was just there. Right? I mean, it wasn't like catastrophic injury destroyed him. It wasn't like his talent on the field when you watch with your eyeballs was somehow inferior.
He missed 4 games, but that, you know, you think he missed more than that. He finishes the wide receiver 36 this year and just was he was a massive disappointment for where he was drafted.
And they went through 3 quarterbacks. So I think people factor that into the mental gymnastics as well.
Yeah, it was tough, weird season for
Debo.
He has not gotten as much shame as a lot of the other people that were drafted where he was and finished
I
poorly.
Haven't felt it. What was he drafted as, though? Wide receiver 8, I think?
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Rookie of the Year nominees. Last year, Ja'Marr Chase took this footy home with him. And by home with him, I meant it was in the mail.
Right.
He opened it. It was a package that arrived. He opened it up and set it on his mantle.
They're arriving now. Last I heard, they were still in the mail.
Yes, they did arrive yesterday. Nominees, Breece Hall.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Come on.
That's for me.
He Thank made the you. Category.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is my vote.
What? Damian Pierce, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Kenneth Walker.
We had some good rookies this year. I mean, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, teammates in college, both coming on into the NFL saying, I'm better. No, I'm better.
And I don't know if you knew this, Jason, but a rookie has won that award every season.
That is crazy. I wonder if one will win it this year.
We shall find out.
All right. Comeback player of the year. Who shocked you? Who came back to relevance? Last year it was James Conner. Had a great season when people didn't expect it. This year, do you think it's Saquon Barkley coming back to his old ways? Christian McCaffrey back to health? Jared Goff being good with the Lions?
You could have just been good.
Right, right. And Evan Ingram, who has, you know, look, he's earned his full name, even from Andy's mouth. He was Evan Ingram, not just Shmevin Schmingram.
All right, the steal of the draft.
It might be Evan Schmingram.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm halfway there.
Warmer.
Steal of the draft. These are always fun because this is what you're looking for in the draft. You want to crush your first picks, but you want to find the value, the best value in your draft. Our nominees this year are Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Josh Jacobs, Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, forever. He's probably in this category just eternally. Devontae Smith and Travis Kelce, despite the hefty 204. He earned his way into being one of the best picks of the draft.
Yeah, Lockett, the lowest ADP of that group at wide receiver 43.
Yeah,
last year's winner.
Ninth round.
Yeah, last year's winner was Debo, wide receiver 34 in the seventh round. Is it back to me?
It sure is.
The Playoff King Award, who drove fantasy managers to a championship during playoff weeks 15 through 17. Last year it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had three top seven finishes. This year's contenders, it's a good group.
Yes, it is.
Austin Eckler finished RB 17, 4, and 1. Tyler Allgeier finished RB 23, 1, and 14.
Which Allgeier got his 1,000.
Nice. Cam Akers, RB 23, 1, and 14. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 12, 1, and 11. Devontae Smith, wide receiver 15, 2, and 5, 2 and 10. DJ Moore, wide receiver 13, 9, and 5.
Can he be the playoff king?
And the
poopy
pants.
While wearing the poopiest pants.
That would be the most DJ Moore thing ever. Jerick McKinnon, the RB1, 21 and 6. And then George Kittle, the tight end, 1, 2, and 12.
Yeah, those guys won people some championships. I didn't see Mike Evans in there. I mean, you know, he sucked, and was awesome.
Like over the course of the 3 weeks
actually,
of the
I believe
playoffs.
It was sucked, awesome, sucked.
No, he got the championship week.
That's right. I had week 18 in my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
My apologies.
But, I mean, you know, he was what was he?
Which he also sucked.
Weeks 15 through 17, I think
he was the wide receiver two,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
So he was great.
He should be in this. I stand opposed to this list. The nickname of the year, we're getting into the real meat and potatoes here. The most important couple of yes. awards that will go out. Last year, the Muth got Luth. For Pat Freiermuth. This year we got the dump truck. Dumps like a truck, truck,
truck. Guys like what? Leading the voters.
Leonard Fournette. Well, I mean, he's got a drop. I got to hit it. Breece Lightning for Breece Hall. You got.
I got a drop for that.
Oh, you do?
Oh.
Wow.
That's a low blow.
Wow, that let me down. And that hurt my feelings.
Sorry.
And
did you think there was a drop that you forgot about?
I honestly did because I'm a goldfish, and I was really excited to remember our drop for Breece Lightning. Mm-hmm. And
that wasn't very nice.
No, and it was insulting too because he's faster than that.
I know.
Horn.
Get healthy.
Get there fast and then take it slow with Kokomo for Cole Kmet. You also have He Who Shall Not Be Named Voldemort.
Yes.
For Deshaun Watson. The spot start in Zay Jones. Shmevin Schmingram. I'll let you figure out who that is. The 12th man for Russell Wilson. And the awful tower for Paris Campbell.
All right, Mike.
All right.
One more big one.
The best award of every year. The Fantasy Footballers Moment of the Year. We polled the people, which ones we want included in this list. And they will be. These are available. Are they available right now? Deucer team.
Yeah, if you go to footyawards.com, you can get them in the survey, right, Brooks?
Yes, sir.
Oh, fantastic. So you can relive them and then cast your vote. But we had Andy's voice crack when he was.
I don't recall that.
He was returning from some illness there. There was a mailbag drop that came after Andy was clearly insulting Al Borland, telling him to hit the gym. Our solution to the NFL's catch problem, where we developed the idea of it's a child. It is the catch child. Zay Jones weather report from that awful weather
Thank
week.
You for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that hopefully that saves some people. Jason giving us the new scoring format of PPR. Bijan Robinson, will he be in the draft? Will he not be in the draft? Quite a moment. Mac Jones not getting the surgery that
other people would have.
That many other players would have gotten. Andy having a full mental breakdown on the show over Kyle Pitts, not knowing what to do. Jason talking about a boat that's on fire, but in a positive nature for some reason. And then Jason as well jumping into this one. I didn't even remember this one until we played it. But Andy and I are having a really good discussion about Terry McLaurin. What's he going to be for the Manders this season? And then Jason jumps in with Antonio Gibson's stats. Because he was not listening to us at all. He's just over there doing his own thing.
I had some great stuff that I had to come out. And unfortunately, I was talking about the wrong player. So
footyawards.com, vote before Monday. We'll announce the winners. Pretty good list here, Brooks. Good work on this whole vote selection process, nominee selection.
Thanks, sir.
Deucer of the year. Why isn't that in there?
Yeah, we on Friday we were talking about whatever. There was a show we were saying the fantasy footballer analyst of the year. And then Deucer of the year.
That's funny. By the way, do you guys happen to I was out on Friday's episode, so I didn't really pay attention. Who got shamed?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, we did. We set our lineups for the fantasy face-off.
I had Elijah Mitchell.
So you set a lineup.
Yes.
And then Jason?
Yeah, I had Elijah Mitchell. He did very well. My team did good.
And then Kyle set a lineup, right?
Yeah, well, because when one of us misses, we let Kyle fill out one. And then Owl Borland also rides with Kyle's team, as I would too, because Kyle's pretty good at DFS. But
yeah.
But yes. This weekend, his lineup was not as good as Minor Jason's.
Yeah, baby. So tune in to the next episode.
Did he use the free version of the DFS pass? Is that what?
Well, he was going up against.
I'll tell you what he did. He played Jonathan Williams of the Washington Manders, disrespecting original nasty boy.
Oh, yeah.
Jarrett Patterson, who shockingly was way better than Jonathan Williams, because Jared Patterson is good. What does this guy have to do to get a job?
Maybe he likes the practice squad. Maybe he prefers the guys over there.
I mean, when he gets playing time, he's great.
Yeah, I mean, good. Unless Zach Moss is great. Like, who would you rather have, Zach Moss or Jarrett Patterson?
Jarrett Patterson.
But I mean,
Moss dominated.
Jack Moss dominated the Houston Texans. Jarrett Patterson was playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the backups.
No. They were trying to win that game. 17 for 78.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, they didn't, though.
No, they did not.
Are they done again in the playoffs?
I won't say, but yes.
All right, that is going to be it for today's show. FootyAwards.com. Go vote. Go check it out. Thank you for joining us. Super Bowl picks, Footballers AMA, Wheel of Shame, all coming on Thursday's episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.